Hi, you're listening to Terry Telford from TheBusinessProfessional.com. And the first thing we'll do is take care of a little legal disclaimer for us. We have all this material is copyright. All rights are reserved by Bridgeport Communications and TheBusinessProfessional.com. All this material is for informational purposes only. We do not guarantee your results because your results can vary based on individual efforts. Today we're very lucky to have Eva Brown Patterson from Australia with us. She is the webmaster extraordinaire of EVB.com. And I think we'll let you take it away, Eva. How did you... Actually, first of all, thank you for being on the call.
You're welcome, Terry. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, thank you. I think we just kind of jump right in. What's your background? How did you kind of come about getting onto the Internet?
Well, I've always worked with computers. For over 20 years now, I've had this fascination with them in my full-time job and when I was at home. And I worked full-time as a computer operator years and years ago, and I mean like when I was 18, and I'm 42 now, so it's a long time.
Wow. That's when computers were about the size of a living room.
It was just after the time when they had green writing on them and little grey screens.
All right, yeah. I remember those.
Yeah. And then I worked on computers in a photographic lab. I did desktop publishing. And then I worked in a graphic design studio. That was fun, removing people's arms and replacing faces. And
on the screen, not in real life.
Yep.
Okay, good.
Yep, not in real life. And I always had a like for web development. I just like learning. And then I was always had two jobs, always trying to make more money. I was never happy with what I earned anywhere. And so at one stage there, I was training people, computer training, on the weekends. And you wouldn't believe it, I used one of those ads that said, "Sex, now that I have your attention."
Oh, no.
And it worked. I had heaps of people calling me to come into their house and train them.
Oh, yes. Yeah. For computers, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Then I've had lots of jobs. I was an executive assistant and a quality systems checker, then a technical document writer, and my last job, full-time job, was a business systems administrator. And then I just moved back home and kept working for myself.
How long have you been working just for yourself now?
Since the beginning of 2001.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So how
I did it in line with my full-time job. Gave myself a bit of a goal.
Yeah.
And it was hard, but I did it.
So
I don't think I could have gone much longer.
What kind of goals did you set? You have a full-time job and then you're doing this in the evening?
Yes, morning and evening, actually.
Oh, yes.
I'd get up at 6, do a couple of hours, quickly get ready for work. I didn't work far from home, which was good.
Right.
So I'd go to work, but the thing was, I did some of my own work at work.
Right.
If I'd finished the work I was doing, instead of sitting around doing nothing, I'd have to check my email in case an order came through.
Exactly. Yeah.
Something like that, yeah. And then I'd come home, make dinner, and back into it again.
Wow. So what was your goal whenever you're working full time?
Yep, my goal was to build up an e-zine business within 12 months. To a stage that I could leave my full-time job.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So for somebody that's doing that right now, that they're in their full-time job, they're also doing the same thing, working online on the side. What would you say is it reasonable to, once you match your full-time income, then you could leave, or?
Before. It's going to take a while to match your full-time income.
Yeah.
Well,
of course, it depends on what your full-time income is, I suppose.
Yes, that's right. I was earning really good money where I was. It was a fantastic job, but I just had this desire to work for myself. I think if you are working full-time, a good idea is to learn to read the book about the power sleep, so you can have 3 extra hours in the day.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I'd read it then.
Where do we find that? Is this a book that you have, or...?
Yeah, it's actually on www.powersleep.com.
Okay.
And it tells you all about sleeping and how you can actually sleep less but have more energy.
Oh, well, that's
and it's all about sleeping patterns.
I have to pick that one up.
Yeah, just getting the right information.
Yeah.
It's great.
Oh, super.
You know, because I don't know how often I've spent many long hours, say 18 to 20 hours a day on a computer, gone to bed really tired and woken up really tired.
Yeah.
It's not a nice feeling, is it?
No, that's true. That's true. So it's basically been a very natural transition for you to go from, you know, kind of computers all the time to working online. Did you have any real kind of major hurdles or difficulties that you had to overcome?
Well, the hardest thing I think was the lack of energy from working so many hours.
Yeah.
Luckily, I had my family supported me.
Oh,
and you know, I just booked them in for a meeting. They wanted to talk to me. Oh, yeah, well, 9 o'clock do. You know, but there weren't any major difficulties for me, and anything that came up, I just considered a challenge and worked through it.
Awesome.
And got past it.
Really, the proper attitude, I think. Like,
oh, definitely. Problem. You're going to come up against things, but I think it's just a learning experience.
Yeah.
You know, and we have to go through these things to find out.
I think that's a good thing that you mentioned.
Know better.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think it's perfect that you mention that, because I think some people get online and they expect that, you know, you can just kind of fire up the computer and print your own money. They don't understand. There's actually a learning curve here.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And when you're working for yourself, especially if you're working a full-time job at the same time, it's surprising how much effort you'll put in.
Yeah.
I think it does depend on the person, but I myself had a really high work ethic, you know. I sort of thought, well, when I finish my full-time job, I'll see if I can go to the beach for a jog in the morning, because I only live 5 minutes away from the beach.
Oh, wow.
Never been there once. I haven't been there once.
Oh, no.
No, unbelievable. So total opposite.
So what happened to the lifestyle we see online, you know, that you can just go out and sit on the beach with your laptop?
Oh, yes. Well, if I had a laptop.
Oh, yeah.
I don't particularly like them. Actually, I shouldn't say that, because I don't have one. I think they're not good ergonomically.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? Give you a sore neck and little keyboard.
Yes, I agree. Your business then, Eva, you've developed a business around affiliate marketing and easy marketing.
Yep.
Can you kind of explain your business? How did you kind of decide what you wanted to do, and how do you do that?
Well, I'd always enjoyed writing. I'd always wanted to write. I actually had a dream when I was much younger of writing a book. And the internet certainly gives you, and computers certainly gives you that opportunity, without having to go through the process of going through editors and people who critique your work or anything. It was just a great feeling of freedom. And when I play, I was subscribed myself to several e-zines, and I thought, I'd like to do that, you know. Or I'd pick things that I liked or didn't like about an e-zine, and I'd think, well, I could do that in my e-zine, and take ideas and ideas bloomed in my head.
Yeah.
And as soon as I started writing it and started, it was great. It just felt so good.
It's your calling in life.
Yeah, I think so. And marketing just fits in perfectly with it.
Absolutely.
I've always had a lot to do with writing, and I like wordplay and witticism and puns and all that sort of thing. They just amuse me.
Oh, yeah. Makes life fun.
It does. Well, yeah, you spend a lot of time working. You really have to be able to enjoy it.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's got to feel good.
So is your easing then, is it the main way that you promote your affiliate programs?
Yes, one of the very many.
Okay. Maybe
one of the very many.
Take us kind of for a walk through your marketing strategies that you have, really kind of on the affiliate side of things. I know you're very good at working affiliate programs. Can you take us kind of through, basically from you find an affiliate an affiliate program, what do you look for, and kind of walk us through how you get that thing out to the people to get other people involved with you?
Sure. Well, with my e-zine, the whole aim of it is to provide ways that people can promote their business for free or little cost, right? So I'm forever looking, forever on the lookout for new programs, products, services. I'm researching all the time, getting content for my e-zine. And of course, if I'm going to promote something or recommend something to my subscribers, I've got to try it out myself.
Right.
So I kid you not when I tell you that I must belong to at least 500 affiliate programs. I've never counted,
yeah.
And honestly, I just don't have the spare time to sit and count. But
yeah.
over 10 years, a lot of them, and that's with regular culling,
yeah.
culling sessions where I go through and go delete, you know, and cancel things. But what I look for in a program is something that I think will be easy to resell.
Mm-hmm.
I like it to have. Well, if I think there's a call for it, if it's something that people are going to want to buy.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. If I think it, especially if I think it's going to be popular,
mm-hmm.
I'll go for it. More so in the last year or so, if it's marketing related, I'm getting more into that bit of a niche, I think, where I'm really trying to provide things that will help my subscribers when they want to market a good value.
Yeah.
And it's good if the affiliate program can have be at least 2-tier.
Okay.
And what else? So I'll recommend it to my subscribers and they go and check it out.
Excellent.
But some of the concepts and methods that I promote to my subscribers, of course I use them all myself.
And what kind of methods are you using for marketing?
Well, text ad boxes, traffic, a purchase traffic, all sorts of traffic, and I tell you, there's good and bad.
Good. Can we just dive into that for a second?
Yes, sure.
Because a lot of people will very much shy away from buying traffic.
What, I can understand that.
You know, because a lot of it is looked at as kind of just junk traffic. How? Why do you use that? That and how do you go about that?
Well, especially now, as a person who sells traffic. Lately, I've noticed that when some people place their orders, you receive their order, and it also includes a threat. You better deliver this. If you don't, oh, blah, blah, blah. And I think, wow, I haven't even answered their email yet. And they're attacking me already. Boy, they must have been treated badly before. Or as it turns out, yeah, they're not getting what they're paying for.
Yeah.
And I think anyone who's in that situation should ask for a refund.
Okay.
Sometimes I offer refunds if I've used a third-party service that hasn't provided the results. And, of course, there are a lot of things that go into, you know, like the website, the copy, all this sort of thing that goes into making the sales. Sometimes it's just the traffic is literally junk.
Okay.
It's not targeted enough, I don't think.
Right.
Yeah, so
where do you go then? I mean, I've myself last year for some of the programs that I was doing, I used to do that as well, is, you know, to go out and buy traffic, and I completely agree with you. Some of it works well, some of it doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
But where can we go now and find some good traffic? You have
well,
your...
I'm always looking for different new methodologies
mm-hmm.
of traffic and proof.
Right.
Really. And I do a lot of ad campaigns for customers, and they're good to gauge results with. And I often get them to do a test campaign where they say perhaps they might spend $100. That's plenty to do a test campaign and get about 5 or 6 different methods of advertising in there. And you track the results and you can see what's good and what's not. But the best two lately that I've seen is direct traffic technology.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise known as DTT,
okay.
And that's not the shakes.
So is it directtraffictechnology.com?
No, you can see that on my site on TrueBlueTraffic.com.
Okay.
What it is they buy up expired domains
uh-huh.
that still have traffic going to them.
Right.
So when someone does a search, instead of... And they're still going to that expired domain. Instead of seeing the page that says this domain is for sale or this is a parking spot, they'll see your website.
Okay.
So that's really targeted. You can type, there's, oh, I think there's 160 categories.
Wow.
And it's unique traffic as well.
Uh-huh.
One visitor once only.
Ooh,
so you can buy say, 5,000
yeah.
to a specific category, and you're getting search engine based results.
Wow.
So that's really good. You'll be looking at, I think it's just under $30 for 5,000.
Super.
Let's get
your website done. It, what is it? True Blue.
True-blue-traffic.com.
Okay. Super.
Yeah.
Just want to get that out there so that we don't forget.
Yeah. The other newest form of traffic, it's got some really funny names, and I'm still getting the grasp of it.
Uh-huh.
But they guarantee human traffic, and it's unstoppable. Unstoppable human traffic. It's a totally new concept. But listen to this. They use warp bots.
A what?
Warp bot.
What's that?
It warps you from site to site. And what else do they have? Nav Screen FX. That uses a split screen system where it shows two sites. And they have Generibots. It's all, as I said, it's really new technology.
Is this stuff they've just come up with, or is this is...
No, the guy who created it all is a big-time programmer.
Oh, wow.
And he was looking for a way to... He was sick of the junk traffic.
Yeah.
He was looking for a way to assure the people that they're really getting visitors.
Okay.
So,
that's really neat.
Oh, it is. It's cool. And they're cheap. Like, say, for instance, even with just their banner campaigns, I think you can get 500,000 banner impressions for under $40.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, very much. Very much. That's good.
And that traffic's also targeted. And they also go to FTC-restricted sites and the unrestricted FTC sites.
Oh,
so,
super.
Yeah.
Oh, that's handy. So that's doing the easings, doing the traffic, buying traffic.
Yep.
What else do you do in your marketing?
All
your secrets.
Oh, joint ventures. Tons of joint ventures. Where sometimes, most of the time, I'm approached.
Uh-huh.
I get approached every day. Of course, lots and lots of emails.
Yeah.
And I try to answer them all. I usually do. Sometimes they're just nothing to do with marketing, so I just say sorry, but, you know.
You don't need Viagra or anything like that.
That's right. Yeah. But it's amazing the relationships that you can make, and when you cross-promote with someone in a joint venture,
uh-huh.
it can be very beneficial to both parties, and it's free. You're really just doing favors for each other.
So if someone's not in the position where, you know, they're fairly well known online, how would they go about, you know, basically coming and approaching somebody like you? How is, you know, what would
I
they...
I get a lot of people who approach me that I don't know from a bar of soap.
Uh-huh.
They come across in a polite manner, mm-hmm. just introduce themselves, let me know what their pitch is straight up.
Yeah.
And be to the point. And tell me what's in it for me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so what the benefits are for my subscribers, what the benefits are for me. I'm often more interested in the benefits to the subscriber, and sometimes I've even swapped my benefits to increase theirs.
Wow.
Would you believe? Yeah, like increase their commission rate. Like sometimes someone might suggest something to me and offer me an increased commission rate, and I say, well, how about giving it to my subscribers instead?
Oh, nice for you. Good for you.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you put kind of, you've got 500 affiliate programs approximately.
Mm-hmm.
How in the world do you market 500 affiliate programs?
Well, I can't really market them all at once. I just can't. Well,
but spreading
you know.
Yourself a bit thin.
Superwoman, I ain't. a lot of those affiliate traffic sites, for instance. That, like the free traffic exchanges that earn you viral credits in a program to show your websites more.
Right.
And a lot of them are those type of programs. They're not really so much ones where you make money, but you're making traffic.
Yeah.
So I think about a third of the programs I belong to would be those types.
Okay, and those are driving traffic to your other affiliate sites then?
Yes.
Okay, super.
And, you know, I've got a little bit of a system for that.
Can you share it?
The start rotator page.
Uh-huh.
I just put all my start pages, or I've got three. One for cash-making programs,
uh-huh.
One for start pages in exchanges, and one for free-to-join partner programs.
Right.
So I just promote the three URLs throughout all the exchanges.
Right.
But they're a rotator page, and one of them's got 90 URLs in it that it rotates. So, and I update that all the time as well. Try to keep it current. So what kind of
I know you don't have to get specific, but what kind of an income range are you able to achieve with the affiliate program, with, you know, 500 affiliate programs?
Well, considering that I'm probably not promoting more than, say, I'm not sure, say 50 or 60 at a time.
Yeah.
But actually, I am, aren't I? I've got 90 just in that traffic. But say the money-making affiliate programs that are products and services,
yep,
related. Several thousand a month.
Fantastic.
Or more. Yeah. Just in checks.
Several thousand or more.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So you've now been able to either match or better the income that you had from a full-time job?
Yes.
And how long has that taken? That's taken then from about 2001 until right now when we're talking is May 2004.
Yes, it's funny though, because like when they had that war last year, that really slowed things down. Sometimes it's busy on the internet and sometimes it's not as busy. There's little trends that appear to happen, and you don't notice them until you've been online for several years.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some months can be just great. You're just thinking, this is fantastic. It's just going to get better and better. And then the next month it may not.
Right.
And you think, hang on, this is supposed to be getting better and better, not going the other way.
Right.
But yeah, like when it rains, it pours.
So now you've had quite a bit of experience online. Have you noticed the trends? Do they follow the same type of trends as an offline business, where usually the summer is kind of slow? Or is it different things, like you said, like the war has an effect on it?
I think it's different to offline.
Yeah?
Totally different to offline. Every time I go to my local shopping centre, there's always a lot of people there shopping.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think probably because they have to go there for the necessities, the food and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so... That's why the other shops that are well placed near them are
right.
doing good business.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yes, I found that the year that my goal, that I had set the goals to finish my full-time job was just an excellent year. And then it got better, then went down a bit last year, and now it's coming back up again this year.
Okay.
From about January this year, I'd noticed that business was getting better and better and better.
So online kind of has its own economic scale.
Oh, for sure. Definitely.
That's an interesting point, because I think there's a lot of similarities, of course, between doing business online and offline, especially when you're starting the business. It's basically kind of the same process. But
yes.
Then I think it's very unique, because, you know, people come online and they turn into a completely different animal.
That's right.
And then really kind of, you know, work the trends, you know, from kind of a different aspect, you could say.
Yes, that's right.
Now, I have a pointed question for you.
All right.
I'm going to give it, I'm going to give it to you from kind of two sides of the coin. First of all, a person who comes online, they want to make, you know, they want to start a business online, and they only have $100 that they can actually start their business. That includes everything. What should they do? If it was you came online.
With $100, didn't know anything.
Didn't know. Well, you know how to use the internet. You know that there's a lot of stuff out there. You have basic computer knowledge, but that's it.
Save it.
Go back. Go out. Get a job.
Save it.
Yeah.
Set yourself up for free.
Mm-hmm.
and then hold on to it to spend on something that you really need. For instance, you'll need to pay for hosting.
Uh-huh.
You can get domain names free. I'm just thinking of the early process.
Where do you go? Where do you get free domain names?
At quite a few places. Just one offhand that I know of is cjb.net.
Really?
Hmm.
That's interesting. There's a new piece of information for me.
I always had True Blue Traffic registered free, and it just redirects it. You just get it redirected to whatever URL you wish.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, so you get yourself, that's great. You get yourself a free domain, which is extremely important to have a domain name.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself some hosting. Where would
join
you
some
go?
Affiliate programs.
Yeah.
If you don't know anything about web designing, because you need a web page.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really need a web page. Oh, well, you do. I'm just thinking if you can promote the affiliate web page.
Yeah.
But, start your website up, learn a bit about web design on a need-to-know basis.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I've learned everything.
Yeah.
I don't go actively seeking out anything unless I need to know it.
Yeah.
Have to do it? Okay, I'll find out how and I'll do it. Yeah. And I'd say hold on to it so you could spend some money on advertising once your website's set up.
Okay. So you could go out and get, of course, there's lots of templates and things out there you can get online.
There's tons of things you can get free. Don't go out and buy the first e-book that you see.
Okay.
Because
it never stops.
That's right. And you won't get to read it all.
No, that's true. Okay, then let's look at the flip side of the coin. The average person online actually has a disposable income of about $40,000, according to statistics.
Wow.
So if you come online, realistically, you look at it as a business, like you do, and say,
yes.
Okay, I'm going to come online. Now I have, you know, a fairly decent, same type of thing, fairly decent experience or enough experience online anyway that I know how to get myself from website to website.
Yep.
You know, I have a decent computer experience, and I have about $1,000. That I can use. Would there be a different process I would use for that?
Yes, I'd come up with a business plan.
Mm-hmm.
And work out what it is that you want to do to build yourself a niche.
Okay.
On the internet that is targeted to a particular market.
Okay.
And I would spend some of that money in making that business plan come to fruition, whether it involves software design or web design, if it's more advanced than what you're able to do,
mm-hmm.
Or even hiring a freelance writer to write an e-book for you. Yeah, I'd set it up with one thing in only straight off.
Super.
If you could.
Yeah. Yeah.
One area.
Well, that's good points. On the affiliate side of things, there's kind of two types of affiliates. We got a type one is basically somebody, you know, kind of goes out and they purchase the product, they use it, they get a good feel for it, and then they promote it. And then a type two affiliate goes out and promotes the newest and the latest programs, and then develops, you know, a lot of multiple income streams. Which kind of camp do you kind of lean towards? Are you more of a purchase the product, or are you more of a promote a program?
Both. Definitely both.
You're in the middle of the fence.
Pardon?
You're on the fence.
Yes, I'm sitting on the fence. I definitely work by my gut instinct, mm-hmm. and my feelings, how things feel. And if something feels right to me, and I think, wow, that's a fantastic product, I may just purchase it straight away.
Yep.
And I could see that, you know, it's past that little criteria that goes through my head.
Yep.
And I'll promote it. But if it's something that is, for instance, out of my reach money-wise or more than what I want to spend,
yep.
until I really tried it out and it doesn't have a free trial, I'll become an affiliate instead and just and promote it that way. But having multiple streams of income, I think, it's quite an easy thing to do when you publish an e-line.
Yeah.
Because you need to vary the content. Of course, it's good to repeat promotion so people see it again and again, but you don't want to flog it. Do you
right,
know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. You still got to provide variety and keep up to date with everything that's going on in the internet. And that's the thing, there's so many things being released all the time.
Yeah.
Aren't they every day?
Yeah, exactly.
You just don't even see them all.
No, you don't have time.
I'm glad.
So would it be better, then in your opinion and the programs that you're involved in, is it better to have a high-priced item that you sell less of but you make a larger commission, or is it better to have a lower-priced item that you're going to sell more of but you make less commission?
I'd have to say number two.
Yeah.
Only because... that's what I base everything on because of my ease on.
Uh-huh.
I'm always looking for something free, good value, low cost, discount price, a bargain.
Yeah.
A bargain to be had. And, I get more thrills out of selling more of something than making more money. That's probably a bit strange, but it does.
Okay.
I'd like to have more people get good value than just... not make as many sales and get good money.
So it almost sounds to me like your subscribers are very much the same type of people that you are, where you would, you know, you like to have a good value, they seem, you know, that kind of, they go on and purchase something more because, probably, obviously because you've recommended it, but because it's a lower price item?
Yes, I think so. They must trust me. And they should.
Yeah.
I'm trustworthy.
Yeah. I can vouch for that.
That must come across. It must just come across in the newsletter.
Yeah.
And as you know yourself, being a publisher, it takes a lot of time and effort to publish a newsline.
Yeah.
But I mean, not every publisher's like that, I suppose. Some probably just whip it up really quick. I wish I could do that.
Yeah.
It takes hours. I'll do it over 2 days.
Yeah, but it also, there's a difference. You can tell which seasonings were whipped up in a couple hours than ones like yours that you know, take a couple days to actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big difference in contents and quality, so.
Yeah.
I definitely prefer reading your e-zine as opposed to when it's made in, what I think I've seen one now, there's a template or something that somebody has that you can whip up your e-zine in like less than an hour, half an hour or something like that.
Yeah.
And you know it was whipped up in half an hour.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. You can't tell the difference, can you?
Yeah, there's a big difference.
Now,
you are probably one of the more successful affiliates, I would say, online, which is an accomplishment. I mean, 95, again, back... I like statistics. My hobbies is kind of finding all the statistics that I can. And there's only 5%, approximately 5% of the people online, whether they're affiliates, webmasters, whatever, they're actually making money, which means, obviously, 95% of the people are not doing something right.
That's right.
What is it that you're doing... you know, that you can kind of pass on to these people, the other 95%, I don't know what they're not doing, but but what is it that you're doing that's brought you into the 5%?
Well, I know lots of ways to make make your site more appealing for customers to do what it is that you want them to do, whether it's buy something, subscribe to something.
Can you give us some hints?
Well, your headline. I think you have to go to a bit of effort on your webpage. You need a really good headline. You need to have a good pitch. If you can be a bit personal too, is good.
Uh-huh.
Tell a bit of a story, even. People like a little bit of a story. What else? I think you have to have a good think about your target audience and what it is that they're after.
Right, yeah.
And see if you can deliver. If you can deliver that, then you're set. You've got a foot in the door.
Yeah.
If they stay at your site and have a look around, subscribe to your e-zine and remain subscribed, that's a really good thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're all potential customers as well.
True. So have you, to build up your e-zine then to be able to promote the affiliate programs and whatnot, how have you gone about getting the subscribers? I know you have a huge database of subscribers of something like 60,000 people. How did you manage
yep.
that?
Well, again, I had goals in that first year. Mm-hmm. My goal, I started publishing in October, and my goal was to have, I think it was over 1,000 by January, mm-hmm. by my birthday. I ended up having 10.
10,000?
I had 10,000.
Wow, that's nice.
It was. I just couldn't believe it. I did everything I could think of. Everything that I wrote in my e-zone for people to do, I did as well.
Fantastic.
And I did a million things. I submitted my e-zone to directories. I joined ad co-ops. I published an ad, the Classy Fried Ads on Mondays.
Right, yeah.
I did ad swaps with other publishers. Articles, article submission services I use to promote my e-zone. I advertise it like mad.
Yeah.
And then what happened? Oh, my husband gave me a present. He bought me some subscribers.
Ah.
I'll never forget that. I was thrilled to bits. Totally thrilled to bits.
That's
yeah, he got me 10,000 for Christmas the following year.
Oh, nice.
Which was a lovely boost. And, yeah, it just kept growing and growing and growing. And I consistently kept advertising, kept updating my listings, changing my ads that I was using, looked for good bonuses to give people, all sorts of things. Did anything. Bend over backwards to keep them there.
Oh, beautiful.
Juggle a ball. One ball, just one ball.
Oh, fantastic. So then, this will be the last question for you. Now,
okay.
You've built up a huge list. How important is that now that it's becoming increasingly difficult to actually get email to people? How important is your opt-in list?
Very important. I've been racking my brains to think of ways that I can get through the barriers that have been put up for small business people to contact their customers.
Yeah.
And, for instance, I stopped sending my e-zone via email and just send a notification now. I'm still not happy with that because you have to put little marks in to stop the spam filters, and it doesn't look right. You know what I mean? It just
yeah.
looks like there's scratchings all over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm looking at alternatives. Hopefully, I'll be using a new alternative shortly in the near future when we launch our new program called Global Prompt.
Cool. Do you have a website set up for that?
I do, but it's not open to the public yet.
Okay.
I wish it was.
When will it be available or coming up?
I think it will be launched within the next 2 weeks.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and give us the address, the domain,
okay.
the actual URL, because
I may as well.
We'll be hearing this for
all right.
at least 11 days.
Okay.
So I guess that's a deadline on for you. You have 11 days until it's released.
Oh, good on you, Dave.
You heard it here first, and here it is.
www.globalprompt.com.
Can you spell it out for us?
GLOBALPROMPT.
.com.
Yes.
Excellent. So this is... People will have access to that somewhere around the 1st of June.
Yes.
If they go there and it looks strange, it's because you're still working on it.
Yes. Free to join.
Excellent.
Alternative to email.
Yeah, can you give us a little bit of a background on it? What is this?
Roger Org, it's his baby,
uh-huh.
his brainchild, my partner in Canada.
Uh-huh.
He's been planning it and having it developed for 2 years.
Wow.
So quite an achievement and a thrill for him for it to be finally coming to fruition. It's a matter of downloading a small program called Earth Flash that sits in your system tray, and it will alert you when you have online email, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah, and you just look at it when you're good and ready.
Beautiful. So it's kind of like an email program, but bypassing all the problems of email programs.
That's right. No inbox.
Beautiful.
No POP3.
So it just comes right directly to my computer from your computer.
Yep.
Fantastic. Almost like an ICQ type thing.
You, when you click on it, it takes you to our site.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can publish e-signs as well and show archives. Yeah, it's a clever program, and it's free.
Oh, wonderful. Sounds exciting. Yeah.
It is exciting.
You'll be the next Hotmail of communication.
Well, as long as it's hot, that's all I care.
Oh, super. Well, I just want to thank you very much, Ava, for taking the time with us and kind of sharing all your insights as far as not only just your affiliate part of the business, but also from the standpoint of how you actually run your business. And I just want to thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
And we'll wrap it up there. You're listening to Terry Telford from TheBusinessProfessional.com and Ava Brown Patterson from EVB.com. Thanks for listening.